Hour four, the final one on this Wednesday morning. An absolutely exceptional day outside. I'm Eric Baralnik with Carlo Colaiacovo. Coco, I think today, my first shorts day of the season on the golf course. And you know when you don't wear a piece of clothing for a very long time? Mm-hmm. It's all kind of like rumpled up and you're like, maybe you throw it in the dryer for 5 minutes, get some of the wrinkles out, maybe freshen it up. Would you wash all of your golf clothing that you don't wear all winter, or you just let it fly, throw it back on, and let's do this thing?
Is that a serious question?
It is.
You absolutely wash it, man. You have to wash everything.
It's too late
now. Hold on a second. Like, you washed it before, or you washed it after your last round of golf,
yeah, of
right?
course. Of
okay,
course.
Okay, so if it's just been sitting in your closet...
For like five months.
But it's been clean in your closet.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, you're fine. You're fine. I thought it was like, okay, I took it off, I haven't washed it, I'm just going to put it back on. No.
Nah, no.
Stuff in your closet is clean, so unless you've got filthy closet or one that's full of dust and stuff like that, then...
I probably do. Let's be honest here. There's probably a lot of dust in this car that gets cleaned very rarely, but such is life.
No, you're fine, man. But shorts day is good. It's finally we're here.
20 degrees, just a perfect day. Very
beautiful.
Excited for the afternoon. Although it's my third straight day of golf, my body is barking.
Yeah, that's tough. I'm feeling it today after 2 days of golf.
I'm hurting.
Body's hurting and just tired. And the sun, like sun tired. You know what I mean?
Could be sun a fatigued. Sugar-free Red Bull day for yours truly.
Hey, no.
It's a very big day here at TSN, and we have started doing this little initiative that when it's our colleagues' birthdays, we cold call them to wish them a happy birthday. So who have we done it for so far? Frankie, Mark Rowe.
Pierre LeBrun.
I forgot we called Pierre LeBrun. Yeah, we did.
Didn't we call Duffy, too? We tried to call Duffy?
No, I don't believe so. I feel like James's birthday is coming up soon. Just a hunch.
Okay.
It's like a sixth sense.
We need to get a list of birthdays so that
we can need the TSN master list. You're right. I'm sure they'd love to give this to us. But today is our Raptors reporter, Josh Lewenberg's birthday. So we're going to cold call him, too, to wish him happy birthday. And we'll see how it goes. J-Lew is a child at home, a young child. And I'm certain he's probably attending to his kid, but let's find out if he's.
Are you gonna answer?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Uh-oh. Two rings.
Oh, he's not answering.
Ooh.
He's not answering.
All right.
Your call has been forwarded.
J-Lew had to ruin
We should have left him a message. What was I doing there? We should have left a message to Josh.
You don't know what his answering machine sounds like.
That's a good point. It could be like, this is Josh Lewenberg. Here's my address.
Yeah.
It was good.
What was the question we asked Josh about that?
His wedding. Honeymoon. It was his honeymoon.
Oh, it was his honeymoon. That's right.
It was good.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
I'm sure Josh is just thrilled he doesn't have to watch the Raptors anymore. Like, being subjected to 82 games of that basketball team, that's a tough one.
I'm okay.
I had no idea that we have so many Josh Lewenberg drops at our disposal.
Isms. We got Josh Lewenberg isms.
We do. That's great to know for future reference. But, man, like the Toronto sports scene right now is terrible. It has changed so dramatically.
Hey.
Where think to where we were even this time last year, where there was at least still some optimism with the Raps. They had good players. I mean, Ananobi, Siakam, those guys are in the second round, and they're thriving in the NBA playoffs. The Leafs, they lost in round two, but at least they got to round two. The Argos had a 16-2 regular season, and the Blue Jays, they won 89 games. We thought maybe they could get Shohei Ohtani, and here we sit. On May 8th, there is no optimism.
Well, TFC's having a great season right now.
TFC.
Yep. They're off to a good start. The new coach comes in.
The herdsman.
John Herdman, the herdsman. I was at their game on Saturday. Very exciting. to see them pull off a victory. Bernardeschi scored his first two goals of the season in highlight reel fashion. PWHL, the Toronto women's team, had an amazing first season, you know, leading the league in points. And
That's tonight. They play Minnesota tonight, right?
Yeah. Did you see yesterday was the draft lottery? Or not the draft lottery, whatever they call it, the...
playoff lottery?
So basically the Toronto women's team got to select who they played, and they chose Minnesota. So it's Toronto versus Minnesota, and it's Montreal versus Boston in the other semifinal series.
Awesome.
Maybe there's a championship we can celebrate there with the women's team. Yeah.
Like, no pressure to the Toronto women and the PWHL, but we need this as a city.
Yeah,
we absolutely need some success. Because the Argos have lost Chad Kelly for at least 9 games with a suspension about the gender-based violence policy in the Canadian Football League. We'll talk to Dave Naylor about that in about 8 minutes. And again, the Jays 16-20 after getting blown out by the Phillies.
The Leafs sent everybody into the offseason angry again.
The Leafs, and I think there could be some optimism with the Leafs, but I think the only real way we could experience that is if they make some kind of maneuvers here, whether it's with the coach, you bring in a fresh face, a fresh voice, someone that could give a different look to the organization, at least behind the bench. Maybe it's at the management level. Doesn't appear that that's the case in that Shanahan, Tree Living, and Keith Pelley, the new CEO, will speak on Friday morning. Is it a trade of perhaps a member of the core four, core five, Marner, Tavares? But again, all these guys have no movement clauses. So, and based on what Chris Johnston told us yesterday, he doesn't expect any willingness to waive these clauses. I guess my question would be, if you were to theoretically go to Mitch Marner and be like, hey, Mitch, we're not going to extend your contract. So you could either play out the final year of your deal now, or we could find somewhere to trade you and maybe you could sign an extension with them. I would imagine Marner, as a prideful individual, maybe the same would apply to Tavares, would be like, yeah, okay, let's do that. If you guys don't want me, I don't want to be here either. And we'll see if that's
I think the conversation is different with Tavares because
there isn't
that big contract out there waiting for him somewhere else. I think he's a guy that is comfortable with being settled here through next year. And if he does think of continuing his playoff career, I think if it's Toronto where he wants to ultimately be, he's got to know there's got to be a different sacrifice he makes contract-wise. And look, I think if you're Toronto and you can get John Tavares for another 2 or 3 years at reasonable money, to be your third line center, it's tough for me to predict that right now. But reasonable money at a hometown discount will be somewhere between $3 and $4 million.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking as well. I agree.
You know, anything other than
made a
that,
lot of money, made $77 million.
But not just that. You're telling him he's going to be a third or fourth line center on your team. You're not going to pay a third or fourth line center on your team more than that. You're going to say, hey, John, thank you. We really appreciate everything you did, but we're going to find somebody better suited to play that role for less.
It's a tough spot, and is that a world in which he's still the captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs on a $3 million a year contract playing as your third-line center? I don't really see how that could happen.
I know there's a lot of people making a big deal about the captaincy on this team. When you have if these four guys are going to stay together, does it really matter who the heck the captain is?
Well, I don't think it does, but I'm talking about for the years to come. Are you going to have a 35, 36-year-old John Tavares as your captain playing 14 minutes a night on the second power play, or are you going to have Austin Matthews as your captain or Morgan Rielly as your captain? I don't know. Again, it's symbolic more so than anything, but maybe that's something that could work for them. Give it a shot because, again, it hasn't worked with Tavares wearing the C as far as deep playoff runs, and I can guarantee you back in 2017 when that contract was done with the Leafs and Tavares, if you told me they would win one round in those 7 years, or sort of
they probably would have said thanks, but no thanks to the contract.
Yeah, they would have said that, and I would have said, you're crazy. That's impossible. How could a team with Tavares and Marner and Matthews and Nylander and Rielly win one round over those 7 years? But to this point, that's exactly what happened.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Just, it really is. Again, 10:30 Friday, the management press conference, which we're all very much looking forward to. On the other side, Dave Naylor our football insider, his thoughts on everything that transpired with Chad Kelly yesterday. The CFL coming down very hard on Kelly, a minimum 9-game suspension. His future in the Canadian Football League and what the Argos could do at quarterback without the reigning MOP. That's next. So we're out playing golf at your course yesterday, Coco. Rattlesnake, fantastic time. I had just hit another 340-yard drive when the notification... I was trying to poke fun at myself. When the notification came in from our TSN football insider, Dave Naylor, that Chad Kelly had been given a 9-game suspension for what the CFL has termed, I want to get this correct here, violating the league's gender-based violence policy. Now, as you can imagine, I talked to a bunch of people about this, did not see 9 games coming, but the CFL did its own thorough investigation, and that's the determination they came to. Let's welcome in Dave Naylor back to the show he used to host many years ago. It is our friend Dave Naylor here on First Up. Hello, Dave.
Yeah, until Carlo stole my job.
Yeah, he did steal your job. It's true.
What are you talking about? Matt Cause was in the seat before you were.
You stole it. You stole it, Carlo. So, Dave, were you as surprised as we were with the length of the suspension? Did anyone see 9 games as a possibility for Kelly?
You know, I talked to one person yesterday in the league who said, you know, I thought it all along. I couldn't get anybody else to come as high as 6, you know? And I look, I thought 6 was a possibility. And in conversations with people, you know, I think people thought, you know, a game or two, maybe 3. I was more on the high side honestly, this has been a conversation, as you can imagine, with everybody in the Canadian Football League over the last few months. The difficulty in handicapping it and the difficulty in evaluating whether it's a fair punishment right now is, you know, we don't know all the facts. There's an 87-page report that was commissioned by the league by an independent investigator. But I can't tell you whether or not the punishment fits the crime or give you my opinion because we don't really know what the crimes, and I use crime in the, you know, sort of conversational sense, not the legal sense, what it was. I mean, look, as someone said to me in my many conversations I had yesterday, the league didn't do this on a whim. And what this person was suggesting is that the contents of that report, you know, must be pretty damning. And I would suspect so, but we're all just assuming based on the strength of the suspension that the league came down with. And, look, there's no real precedent for this. But, you know, having things like a policy on, again, I think the policy is called the gender-based violence policy. And I think that's a little tricky when he's violated that because I don't know that I have no awareness of there being any allegations of physical violence involved in this case. So it just makes it difficult for outsiders to kind of understand what exactly happened here. And it's funny here in Toronto or in Canada, we're all familiar with some of the dynamics of the case, how it's rolled out. But looking at some of the Twitter response from the United States, certainly Chad Kelly is a well-known name there. People were saying things like, I don't know what this means. Like, what did he do? You know, that kind of thing. And that I think is kind of one of the unfortunate aspects of this is, you know, if you talk about a suspension on the football field, we all see a play. Was it dirty? Should have got a game? Should have got 2 games? I mean, you know what you're being asked to judge. In this case, we really don't.
Well, what we do know is that there was a statement of claim with the Ontario Superior Court of Justice alleging a pattern of harassment by Kelly beginning with unwanted romantic advantage and escalating into instances of threatening language. Now, that's all allegations. We don't know anything beyond that, but we do know the CFL did their own investigation, and this is what they came to. So I think a reasonable question to be asked here, Dave, is, the way the CFL phrased this, a minimum of 9 games. So what exactly does that mean to you? It could be longer than 9?
Yeah, what it means is that Chad Kelly is being asked to subject himself to an assessment by an expert, to undergo counseling from an expert in gender-based violence, and then a reassessment to determine whether he's actually, you know, committed to this. And
after
has,
nine
you know,
games, he's supposed to have that reassessment?
Over the period, like if you think if he's gone for 9 games, that would be about 11 weeks, right?
Okay.
So over 11 weeks, he's supposed to be assessed, undergo counseling, and then have reassessment. and the reassessment be to, I think, you know, measure his progress and commitment to understanding the significance of the things that he is alleged to have done. And so, you know, that was the first question. Well, there's two questions for Chad Kelly right now. I'll get to the second one in a minute. But the first one is he going to appeal? And I think he's probably likely to appeal, at least, you know, take issue with the length of the suspension, if not the contents of the report. And then the second part of it is, okay, is he going to subject himself to this? Is he going to be okay with this? As the league has said, you're not just suspended for 9 games. While you're away, this is what you have to do. And so if he's not going to do it, he's never going to play again in the Canadian Football League.
So if he does do it, Dave, will he play again in the Canadian Football League?
Well, that's then you go to the Argonauts. The Argonauts have a choice now. You know, Chad Kelly was a very marketable name 6 months ago in Toronto. He's not right now. He's still a heck of a football player, but the Argonauts would have a choice as his employer. So the other choice the Argonauts might have is if Chad Kelly appeals, it's like any suspension in sports. While you appeal, you're allowed to participate. And getting an arbitration hearing for a case as complicated as this could take, you know, a matter of weeks. So let's say the arbitration case is going to be 6 weeks away. Chad Kelly could play until that time, unless the Argos say he can't. The league can't stop him if he appeals, but the Argos, as his employer, could still say, no, we're going to suspend you until this appeal is heard. So I don't know. There's a lot of people that have to make some very sensitive decisions here. But it starts with Chad Kelly on the appeal and whether he wants to follow the requirements and then whether the Argonauts still want to employ him. But,
The sense that there will be an appeal here, Dave?
I do. I spoke to his agent a couple times yesterday. He is not committed to filing an appeal, but I wrote this on TSN.ca. It's up there that they are exploring basically the appeal process to see, you know, basically, you know, he wasn't going to commit in the first 6 hours after this hit that they were going to an appeal. But my sense from talking to him and him saying that they're going to explore it. And again, I don't know that they're necessarily going to take issue with the contents of the report, but they're good. I think where they would be more likely to go is say, okay, you know, let's acknowledge what's in the report, but where did you get 9 games from? You know, that might be more the nature of the appeal.
TSN Football Insider Dave Naylor, our guest here on First Up. So let's look at the on-the-field byproduct of this. Chad Kelly, arguably the best player in the CFL, won league's most outstanding player. The Argos had the best regular season in the history of the franchise, which dates back a very long time. Is Cameron Dukes the answer? If Kelly's out, could they look elsewhere, perhaps, to a certain man who was claimed by the New York Giants on waivers? Dave, what do you think?
Well, Cameron Dukes is a bit of an unknown quantity, right? Small school guy, played a little bit in games that didn't matter at the end of last season, mostly. Most of his time is in games that didn't matter. Now, they mattered to the other teams, so it's not like they weren't, you know, the competition wasn't there, but the Argonauts were not in situations where they had to win games. They had already clinched. So, you know, and teams will see some film of Cameron Dukes now because it's on film from last season. So they'd be able to prepare for him, which always makes it a little more challenging and things like that. So, but yeah, Brian Scott is another player who's on the roster who was there a year ago. He's a guy who played in the USFL, I believe it was the USFL, not the XFL. Lord knows I get confused sometimes which league the guy's played in, but he did play in one of those alternative professional spring leagues before he came to CFL. He's an Occidental College guy, which again is another small. So two small school guys in there are the, you know, the next in line. And as for the Nathan Moore, it was kind of fascinating yesterday because, you know, the Chad Kelly decision came down at 2:15, and Nathan Rourke was potentially due to become a free agent at 4:00 had he cleared NFL waivers, which, you know, was, you know, down to the hour, you know, of the Chad Kelly being suspended and Nathan Rourke potentially being available. But the Giants, the New York Giants, did put in a claim for Nathan Rourke yesterday. He is on their roster, and I actually think it's a pretty good situation for him, with a depth chart that is made up of Daniel Jones, Drew Locke, and Tommy DeVito. This is a
don't
much
disrespect
more favorable
Tommy
situation.
DeVito there, Dave.
Hey, yo,
come on,
way, yo. Hey,
well, you're gonna have the hand community come after you.
well, it is funny because, like, you know, look, Tommy DeVito is a folk hero, right, in New York, because, you know, he's a local guy and he's an undrafted guy. He was the quarterback at Illinois when Chase Brown was running the football there, and but like Nathan Rourke. You know, basically what he has to do to get onto the roster in New York, or get onto at least become the number three, is beat out a guy who, like himself, was undrafted. You know, it's awfully hard to go to camp. In fact, last year he went to Jacksonville. There was no competition, right? He got the number three job by default because they only brought three quarterbacks to camp. But he's behind a third-round pick and C.J. Beathard, who had, you know, a bunch of starts on his resume. He was going to be the number two. In this instance, I would assume he's going to have an opportunity to beat out Tommy DeVito. And so it's, you know, Nathan's an undrafted guy who played a couple of years in Canada. Tommy DeVito's an undrafted guy who went straight to the NFL, has six starts on his resume, fared pretty well. So, you know, the interesting thing for me about the Giants is this. None of those three quarterbacks I mentioned at the top, who they already had signed before yesterday, Drew Locke, Daniel Jones, or Tommy DeVito, are locks to be on the Giants in 2025. And if the Giants have the kind of year a lot of people assume they might have, they're going to draft a quarterback next year at the NFL draft. What Nathan Rourke needs to do this year is win the number three job and demonstrate that he can be the number two behind the franchise quarterback that New York's going to draft next spring, you know, unless all of a sudden they have a great year. But that I think, is a scenario that you could see very, very likely. Can Nathan Rourke prove that, hey, if you're drafting a franchise quarterback in 2025, I can be your number two?
Dave, going back to the Argos for a second, you and I have worked together for more than a decade here at TSN. We've had the conversation about the Argos' place in this city, the sports hierarchy, dozens of times. And I think last year they made real significant progress on that front. The team was amazing. 16-2, 35 points a game. Chad Kelly slinging it all over the field. It was amazing. And yes, the way that went down in the East Final against Montreal was a tough go, but they had an incredible crowd, and I feel like after that and this Chad Kelly thing, we're almost back to square one here with the Argos. It's devastating, frankly. And is it your expectation that, like, the Kelly just perhaps sits out the first half, then they just bring him back, or is there an alternative to who they have on the roster right now at quarterback, not named Nathan Rourke, that they could look to somewhere else in the CFL, or do you think it is what it is with the guys they currently have in place?
I think it's, given the time in the calendar, I think it is what it is. I mean, they could add some quarterback depth because their number three is a guy who has, you know, no experience in the league. If somebody were to cut somebody with CFL experience, you know, later this spring in training camp, could I see that the Argos claiming that type of person? Sure. Could I see him becoming their number one? No. You know, I guess you could do a trade for, you know, I don't know if somebody like a Jeremiah Mazzoli would be available in Ottawa, where they're committed to Drew Brown. But I don't know if Ottawa is going to be into, you know, trading away quarterback depth, given the way their injuries have hit their quarterback roster in the last, well, 3 or 4 years. I think they probably want to keep all the depth they have. So, yeah, I think they probably will ride it out with Cameron Dukes and Brian Scott and hope that Chad Kelly comes back. Because I honestly can't think of who that player would be that you would sign. I mean, if this had happened, you know, if this report had come down 4 months ago, you know, maybe you signed Chris Streveler. You know, he was still available at that time. And, you know, there were certainly options. I just don't know what the options would be right now. And as we know in the Canadian Football League, when, no matter how talented a quarterback you are, if you have no experience in this league playing this game, it's very, very hard to anticipate that you're going to have success. You're probably better to go with a lesser talented player who has experience in the league, and Cameron Dukes does have that. But I agree with what you said with the Argos off the top. I mean, by the end of last year, you know, you saw the Chad Kelly jerseys sprinkled around the stadium. You know, they did have 27,000 legitimately there for the Eastern Final. Didn't go very well, but the buildup was real. There was actual Argo buzz, and AK, for people like you and I in Southern Ontario who, you know, enjoyed the Canadian Football League experience, it was really gratifying to see that happen. And what's that line? We're not allowed to have nice things. That's what it kind of feels like. Was, you know, like, oh no, you
sucks,
don't.
Man.
No. A phenomenal player who comes in and wins a great cup off the bench 1 year and then leads the team to 16-2. And no, like, as an Argo fan, who, and God knows Argo fans have taken enough, you know, shots in the you know where over the years. This is just one more. It just feels like that. Yeah.
Well, Dave, just to revisit the Nathan Rourke conversation, I think our boy Adam Scheffler was listening to our conversation because while you were in the middle of talking about him, he sent out a tweet saying the Atlanta Falcons, who signed Kirk Cousins and drafted Michael Penix Jr., put in a waiver claim for Nathan Rourke, who was awarded towards the New York Giants.
Wow. See, now I'm glad he ended up with the Giants because, you know, the thing that Nathan did get away from in going to the Giants is he's not behind a quarterback who was a high draft pick who was on, you know, secure footing, right? Like it was Trevor Lawrence. Nobody was going to move from Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. You know, no one's moving from Drake May in New England, you know, for at least 2 years. You know, but Daniel Jones is, you know, they can walk away from Daniel Jones next year by taking a dead cap hit of $22.2 million, which I know sounds like a lot, but if you figure that whoever would be replacing Daniel Jones, whether that's a first round pick or whether that's Nathan Rourke, you add his salary to that $22.2 million, and you've got a pretty reasonable number for what the Giants are going to be spending at quarterback. So they, you know, they aren't really. That was the difference in, you know, in Jacksonville. Trevor, he was never going to take Trevor Lawrence's opportunity unless he got hurt. And again, I think that Nathan's best case in the short term is to kind of advance to a number two. But he would, you know, if he'd gone to Atlanta, can you imagine behind Kirk Cousins and a guy who was the eighth overall pick of the draft? Who again, Penix may not be on the field for a couple of years. So I'm glad he didn't get stuck behind that draft class. It's a weird situation with quarterbacks in the NFL because so much of it is about that high draft pick and just doing whatever you can to support that player as opposed to even compete with that player. If you guys got a moment, I'll share a little story that just kind of illustrates about how much it is about just the starting quarterback. So you remember the story, the game in Dallas last year where Nathan Rourke threw what might have been the most incredible pass thrown the entire NFL season,
you
know, including preseason, right? He breaks four tackles. In fact, I'm at the game, and I think I actually looked away because I thought he'd gone down. And then he pops back up, you know, and then he throws this pass and hits a guy in stride for a touchdown. And Patrick Mahomes is tweeting about it. Adam Schefter is tweeting about it. Warren Sapp is tweeting about it. Twitter NFL is going nuts over this play. So I go, this is in Jerry's house, right? So I go down into the first floor of the stadium, go towards the Jaguars locker room. And as I'm thinking, ooh, there's going to be a big scrum of people around Nathan's locker. They're all going to want to talk about the play and hear about it and all this. So as I'm walking towards the locker room, Trevor Lawrence is coming the other way, walks past me the other way. And there's about, you know, eight or nine reporters following him on his way to the podium where he's going to talk about the one or two series that he led in the first quarter 4 hours ago. Okay. I get to Nathan Rourke's locker. He's sitting at his locker tying up his shoe, and he looks up, and this is what our conversation goes like. Hey, Dave. Hey, Nathan. Hey, man. Okay, good to see a familiar face. Oh, yeah, cool. That was a heck of a throw. It's football. That was our conversation. And Warren Sapp and Patrick Mahomes and Adam Schefter are tweeting about it. Yeah. But I'm the only guy there to talk to him. So, you know, that was, if I ever needed any further confirmation that it's all about Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville, just like it'll be all about Drake May in New England, and to some degree still about Daniel Jones in New York. The difference is Daniel Jones is on the clock.
Well, should be an interesting month here in both the Canadian Football League and the National Football League. The Argos open up their home schedule 1 month from tomorrow on June the 9th against BC. I'll see you down there. Looking forward to it. And who the hell will be under center for the double blue remains to be seen. But I don't know. We'll have to wait. We'll have to wait and see. Thank you for the time, Dave.
All right. Great to join you guys. See you later.
Always. That's our friend Dave Naylor. Man, sucks. It sucks. There's such a fun year last year with the Argos. Mm-hmm. Now they could be bad again. Could be bad again. That easy.
I agree.
The best player in the league. And now you have a big question mark at quarterback, the most important position by a mile. And I don't think any of your competition are going to bail you out. Like, sure, you want one of our other quarterbacks that have experience in the league? We'll trade him to you. You just have to give us.
What? Hamilton has Bo Levi Mitchell and who?
and Taylor Powell. Didn't you play with both those guys, golf with
Duffy? No, I played with Bo, not Taylor.
Oh, it was just Bo? It was just Bo, yeah. So they have Bo and Powell. Yeah, he was a good young player. And Ottawa's got Drew Brown, and they brought him over from Winnipeg, and Montreal has, you know, the reigning Grey Cup champions, and Cody Fajardo, and the Argos have nobody who's ever played with
him. That's right. The Montreal Alouettes won the Grey Cup.
Yeah, that was expensive.
Crazy.
Very expensive.
They beat Winnipeg, and they beat Toronto in the Eastern Conference Final. Wow, I totally forgot about that.
Sadly, I did not, nor has my bank account. My FanDuel Best Bets in 15 minutes. First up continues. My FanDuel Best Bets in 10 minutes. It's Wednesday morning. Big night in the world of sports tonight, including a couple of Stanley Cup playoff games. Florida has to bounce back tonight against Boston, right? They can't go down 2-0 to the Bruins. I kind of feel like Boston's going to win the series now, though. I'm very concerned.
You think so?
Concerned.
No, that would be so leafy. I mean, think about it. Like, all that does is strengthen the argument for the Maple Leafs as to why they lost to Boston. It's like, well, we lost a really good team again.
The series is close. It's happened in the past, too, right? Where teams that have beaten the Leafs, like Tampa, like Boston in, what, 2018?
Montreal.
Beat the Leafs. Montreal,
Florida.
Yeah. Florida. They all go to the Cup Final. Maybe it's just they get such a boost from destroying the hearts of Maple Leaf fans that, you know, just carries them. Carries them for weeks.
I was thinking about this yesterday because, as you mentioned many times, that we were golfing with our good buddy Derek Trouba. What is the Sultan of the Sandbagger?
Sultan of the Sandbagger, that's right.
Yes. And while we're at the golf course, you know, you're running into people, you're having conversations, and people are talking about the Maple Leafs, and I come home and I start digesting again because it's literally around me everywhere, like people asking me about the Leafs and stuff like that, and I'm thinking to myself, do players in the league not like earning their escrow money back? Because if that was the case, why are so many players in the league cheering against the Maple Leafs? The longer the Maple Leafs play in the playoffs, the more HRR the league is going to make because they are the highest grossing revenue team in the league.
Probably a lot more, too. Like, imagine Montreal, Toronto, Edmonton, Vancouver all making big playoff pushes and big long playoff runs. Somehow that happened where both teams in the East and the West were crushing it. Like, and I know it's the Canadian dollar, which is depressed against the American dollar right now, but I'm sure that the amount of money that they bring in.
Well, just look at the ratings on ESPN for Saturday night. Huge. For the Leafs and Bruins game, it was the highest it's been all season. Over 4 million people viewing at one time?
I believe it was the highest first-round game since 2012 on ESPN, like, with ESPN, the American network.
It's weird. Like, you hear a lot of the players or people around hockey that say, oh, they laugh at the Maple Leafs losing. But then I always wonder, wouldn't you be cheering for the Maple Leafs to win because of HRR and escrow that players have to play? And the longer these big market teams that generate high HRR revenues, you make more money for the league.
How long did it take you to stop? Maybe you never started, but to stop hating the Leafs after they traded you?
I never did hate the Leafs. There was one person I hated on the Leafs, and that's it.
Okay.
And you can probably guess who that is.
Yes. There's no.
Can you guess who that was?
Was it the general manager?
No. Who was the coach of that team that year?
Oh, was it Ronnie Wilson?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
He is the only person that I had a grudge against. Other than that, like, look, I welcomed a fresh start. Even though I didn't want to leave Toronto, I welcomed a fresh start because I felt like I was at a point in my career where it needed it.
And it worked out for you. I mean, you go to St. Louis, you thrived.
Best thing that happened in my career because I was, as much as I wanted to move past the label that people put on me of being an injury-prone guy, it was virtually impossible to do it in this market because every time something happened, that was the first thing people would come to. Meanwhile, the background behind all that was I got a lot of bad advice early in my career when it came to management and training and you know, the things that you need to you know, get advice on when it comes to injuries. And I don't necessarily hold blame to that. Obviously, the information and the training and the rehab has changed a lot now, but It is what it is. I don't hold any grudges to anybody. I always say to people, I loved my time in Toronto. I wish it would have been a little bit different. I wish I would have been able to experience what playoff hockey was like as a player on this team. But it didn't happen, and I don't hold any regrets to that. There's only one guy that I hold a grudge against, and that's Ron Wilson because of the way he treated me.
That's right. And I'm aligned with you. We're not fans of Ron Wilson.
Yeah.
No longer.
And I've been told that Brian Burke took over the job when I got traded a week after the trade, and he said if he was the GM of that team, he would have never made that trade.
I believe, yeah, he said that on this show. Did he not, Berkey? I can't recall.
Probably.
He was asked about it. Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. Well, who knows what could have been. What could have been? Maybe it could be you hoisting the cup in Toronto, but sadly not the case. We'll wrap up a very busy Wednesday morning with my FanDuel Best Bets next. Time now for today's Best Bets. They are powered by FanDuel. I'm going back to the well. The Panthers in Game 2 over the Boston Bruins. I like Vancouver in Game 1 over the Oil. Don't love the long layoff for Edmonton. And lastly, in the NBA, I think the Pacers stage the upset. Take them plus 4.5 points in New York against the Knicks. Today's Best Bets are powered by FanDuel. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today and find thousands of ways to play. Please play responsibly, 19 plus, and physically located in Ontario. Thank you to 20 Fingers, and thank you to Cam. Excellent show today, fellas. Golf Talk Canada is coming up on the other side. Carlo, you stay indoors. Stay loose, stay limber. I'll be out just smashing drives, chipping in multiple times, perhaps from a bunker,
dude,
like I almost
chip,
did yesterday.
Your chip game is, your wedge game is incredible right now.
Everything else is terrible, though, but the wedges are good.
It's okay.
My nickname for him is Mr. Chips.
Yeah. Oh, God, I love that.
Where are you playing today?
Wind dance today.
Oh,
today.
Nice.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Enjoy.
Very long drive out there, so I got to go, but I'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m.
Can't wait. See you tomorrow. Ciao. So I'm going to say, what? Excuse me.